Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. This is Live by Every Word.
Thanks for joining me here on Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk. This is Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG. We are online at kpcg.fm, and we have a live link at thetrumpet.com as well. And if you missed any of our past programs, you can catch the archive versions there at thetrumpet.com and at kpcg.fm. And that goes for all of the programming here on KPCG. Make sure you keep up with it if you can. I know it's a lot, but it's great information here on KPCG, Trumpet Radio. When you look at the Ten Commandments that God gave to mankind, and he reminded ancient Israel about them when they went to Mount Sinai. Of course, those laws were in effect before Israel came to Mount Sinai, but God had to remind them as they had forgotten. God's commandments are broken down into really two components. And the first four commandments show us how to have a relationship with God. And the last six commandments have everything to do with our relationship with our fellow man. And the Sabbath commandment is the fourth commandment, to keep the Sabbath. So keeping the Sabbath has a lot to do with having a proper relationship with our Creator. Now, most people don't keep the Sabbath day holy. It's a very rare individual that will keep God's Sabbath day. Well, how does God feel about that? Does God care? When God looks at modern Israel today, which the United States is one of those tribes, Manasseh, does God care that people don't keep the Sabbath? Is he indifferent to it? Well, God does care. He does care. And what happens when people don't keep the Sabbath day? Is there a penalty for it? Well, God shows a very important principle, and he taught it to ancient Israel. He offered Israel blessings for obedience and curses for disobedience. So there is cause and effect. Blessings for obedience, curses for disobedience. Notice this passage here in Leviticus 26. We'll look at a few passages today. So if you have your Bible handy, be good to look at these. Leviticus 26, verses 2 through 4. God says, "You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Eternal. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then I will give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit." And so you can read down further in Leviticus 26, and you can see more of the blessings that God promises for obedience to his law, including observing the weekly Sabbath day and the annual holy days. There are blessings that come from keeping God's law. Who doesn't want to be blessed? I don't know of anyone that's ever intentionally passed up a blessing. If you can get a blessing, if you can receive a blessing, well, why wouldn't you want to do that? So God says, look, if you keep my commandments, including the fourth commandment, the Sabbath day, then you'll be blessed. And you can read about, again, those blessings there in the first part of Leviticus 26. But as we go down further in Leviticus 26, now we see the other side of the coin, the curses. God outlines the curses that would result from breaking his law. And so, again, we are asking that question today. Does God care if people break the Sabbath? What happens if people do break the Sabbath? Well, let's continue here in Leviticus 26, and we'll read verses 31 through 35. Here God lists some of the curses that will occur for breaking his laws. Verse 31 says, "And I will make your cities waste and bring your sanctuaries unto desolation, and I will not smell the savor of your sweet odors." So if people are crying out to God, he's not going to hear it if they're rebelling. Verse 32 says, "And I will bring the land into desolation, and your enemies which dwell therein shall be astonished at it. And I will scatter you among the heathen, and will draw out a sword after you, and your land shall be desolate, and your cities waste. Continuing in verse 34, it says, then shall the land enjoy her Sabbaths, as long as it lies desolate, and you be in your enemy's land. Even then shall the land rest and enjoy her Sabbaths. As long as it lies desolate, it shall rest, because it did not rest in your Sabbaths when you dwelt upon it. Well, there's been in the news even recently quite a few examples of cities that have taken a little bit of a break, I guess, and you don't see people out like you used to. Well, there's going to be more of those types of things. God says if people break his commandments, if they don't keep the Sabbath day holy, well, then there'll be more desolation. There'll be more empty cities. That's what would happen. Now, among the curses that are listed, national captivity is a specific curse that comes from breaking God's laws. And you can read more curses that God mentions in Deuteronomy 28, verses 15 through 68. And go through and look at some of the specifics there. Notice this quote from the Herbert W. Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course. That's a free Bible correspondence course that you can sign up for at thetrumpet.com. And it's a wonderful course. Takes you through so much truth from your Bible and really opens up God's plan to your understanding. If you study that and really look at it and pray to God for more understanding, then certainly you can learn quite a bit. But the course says God warned that tragic curses would befall the people if they would not keep his commandments, especially the fourth, which was the great sign identifying him as their God and them as his chosen people. So, of course, Israel, as we just read about there, they were warned by God. They were warned. If they were to break God's laws, there would be curses for disobedience. But, of course, then if they kept them, there'd be many great blessings, too. But they were warned about what would happen, and Israel broke God's Sabbath. And the curses came just as God warned. Notice this as we go down a little further in history. 2 Kings 17, verses 16 through 18. Verse 16 says, and they left all the commandments of the Eternal their God, and made them molten images, even two calves, and made a grove, and worshipped all the host of heaven, and served Baal. They got into all sorts of idolatry, all sorts of law-breaking. Verse 17, and they caused their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire, and used divination and enchantments, and sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Eternal, to provoke him to anger. You know, they're the ones that went out and provoked God to anger by their sins, by their actions. Just constant sin. And it provoked God to anger. Does God get angry? Well, God does get righteously indignant. Man can get angry and sin, but God gets righteously indignant when the commandments are being broken and people are hurting themselves. As it says there, they provoked him to anger. Verse 18, therefore, the Eternal was very angry with Israel and removed them out of his sight. There was none left but the tribe of Judah only. God warned them. He said, if you break my commandments and if you don't keep my Sabbath day, the fourth commandment, I'm going to take you and put you into national captivity. And that's what happened. That's exactly what happened. We just read about it here. The course says that in the days of their last king, Hoshea, the northern 10 tribes were invaded by Assyria, conquered, removed from their land, and made slaves. They were made slaves. You know, we're not used to that idea today, not really. To be a slave, to not be able to decide when you come out, when you go in, what you're going to do. Slavery. That's what happened to ancient Israel. Further down, it says, the house of Judah also polluted God's Sabbath and therefore came under his curse. Over 100 years after the house of Israel went into captivity, The sacking and destruction of Jerusalem by King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon began in 604 BC. You can read that history in 2 Chronicles 36, verses 5 through 7, and verses 16 through 20. It says the captivity of those who survived was the fulfillment of God's warning to Judah. You can read that in Jeremiah 17, verses 21 through 25, and verse 27 also. So some of them did survive. Some of those of Judah did survive the attack there by Nebuchadnezzar, but they went into captivity then. The quote says, God was patient. This is really an important point. God was patient with the houses of Israel and Judah, but after their persistent disobedience, he finally allowed them to be militarily defeated and taken into captivity. See, God was patient with Israel. Now, sometimes it's easy for people to mistake God's patience for indifference. We started out today's program by asking, well, does God care if the Sabbath day is broken today? Does he care about that today? Because if you look around, you know full well, most people don't keep the Sabbath. And yet it's a fourth commandment of God. Does God care about that? Does it matter? Does it make any difference? Well, of course it does. And yet a person would say, well, you know, many people don't keep the Sabbath, and yet look around. Things kind of have carried on for a while. Well, they carry on for a while. But again, don't mistake God's patience for indifference. As the course noted, God was patient with Israel. He was patient with Judah. Even after the house of Israel went into captivity, Judah had another 100 years before they went into captivity. Now, when we read about that in the scope of history, that doesn't seem like much. 100 years, well, that's not too much. But our lifespan's not 100 years. Very few people get to be 100 years old. That's an entire lifespan. And yet, still, God's words came to pass. They did come to pass. Don't mistake God's patience for indifference. He gives people a chance to repent and to change. And just because the tribulation that's prophesied in the Bible hasn't fully come into effect right now, at this very moment, and Christ hasn't then returned right after that, it's easy for people to get a little bit lackadaisical and say, well, I've heard this before, and, you know, I haven't seen Christ return yet. Or, well, somebody told me, yes, I should keep the Sabbath, and I really haven't done it, but I'm still alive. It's easy to get into that sort of a mindset. It could be about any sin. We're talking specifically today about the fourth commandment, but it could be any sin. You know, it's easy enough to think, well, you know, sin was committed. Lightning didn't shoot out of the sky, as some would maybe think about it, and immediately stop it, so therefore it's fine. No, God has patience, but he's not indifferent concerning sin. It's easy for the modern nations of Israel to think that God's indifferent. It's easy for the Laodiceans to think that. A whole church era that fell away from God's truth, with the exception of a handful of people that remained loyal to the work that God did through Herbert W. Armstrong. Many people that kept God's truth have stopped doing it. And it might be easy to think, well, God doesn't care. But God is giving people a chance to change and to repent. We don't want to mistake God's patience for indifference. The prophecies of God are sure. God's words are sure. And Israel, the house of Israel, did go into captivity for breaking God's law, including breaking the Sabbath. And Judah went into captivity 100 years later also because of breaking the Sabbath and other sins. The ultimate truth that we cannot forget is that people, it doesn't matter who they are, people are blessed for obeying God and cursed for disobeying God. Cursed. Take a good look around. Yes, there are some blessings still, but increasingly, wouldn't you say there are more and more curses in society? Blessings for obedience, curses for disobedience. So what does God expect people to do if they have not been keeping the Sabbath, but they want to repent and they do want to keep the Sabbath? What does God expect? How radical should a person get? How serious should a person be about it? How serious should someone be about keeping God's commandments? Well, let's notice this in Nehemiah 13. Nehemiah 13, and we'll look at verses 19 through 22. It says, "And it came to pass that when the gates of Jerusalem began to be dark before the Sabbath, I commanded," this is Nehemiah talking, "I commanded that the gates should be shut and charged that they should not be opened till after the Sabbath. And some of my servants set eye at the gates, that there should no burden be brought in on the Sabbath day." Verse 20, "So the merchants and sellers of all kind of ware lodged without Jerusalem once or twice." They still thought, well, we'll see how serious they are about keeping the Sabbath day once or twice. Verse 21, "Then I testified against them and said unto them, why lodge you about the wall? If you do so again, I will lay hands on you. From that time forth came they no more on the Sabbath." Verse 22, it says, "And I commanded the Levites that they should cleanse themselves and that they should come and keep the gates to sanctify the Sabbath day." And then Nehemiah says, "Remember me, O my God, concerning this also, and spare me according to the greatness of your mercy." See, Nehemiah had a proper fear of God. He could have feared men. He could have feared the people that came and sat by the gates and tried to, you know, conduct their business on the Sabbath day, but he didn't. He feared God. He kept the Sabbath, and he had the authority and the power to make sure that others did too, as long as he was on watch, because he had a proper fear of God. He got pretty radical about it. He said, "Don't you come in here on the Sabbath day, or you're going to tangle with me." And of course, he had the authority and the position to do that. But he really did have a proper fear of God there to keep his commandment. The fourth commandment about the Sabbath day. Well, think about this example. Is God serious about stopping sin? Yes, very much he is. And Nehemiah took some very strong action to set things right. You know, if you're a person that really hasn't kept the Sabbath, but you know you should, or maybe you've gotten away from it, now would be a great time to set it right. And that's true of all of us. You know, we can think about our Sabbath observance, and there's always room to grow. It's time to set it right. Make sure we're keeping the Sabbath day holy. As we see more and more curses in society, now more than ever, we need to be keeping God's laws, including this fourth commandment, and really keeping the Sabbath day. It's a privilege to keep the Sabbath day. All the history of the house of Israel and the house of Judah, all of it, it's an example for us today. It's a warning. The mistakes they made, it's a warning to us. And again, remember, blessings come from obedience, curses from disobedience. That's the point to remember. The course notes this. The punishments that befell ancient Israel and Judah were types. See, they were just types of the same punishments prophesied to befall their modern descendants. Well, who are the modern descendants of the tribes of Israel and of Judah? You can learn more about that by reading The United States and Britain in Prophecy. That's a free book at thetrumpet.com. And it's essential reading. It's essential reading. But the modern descendants, it says, will be punished for the same sins, Sabbath breaking and idolatry. This isn't just ancient history that we're going over. This is prophecy for you and for me today. It's prophecy. We can look at the example of ancient Israel and Judah. The quote continues here from the Herbert W. Armstrong Bible Correspondence Course. Again, it's free at thetrumpet.com. It says, "The curses God brought upon his chosen people are dual in fulfillment." See, there's a duality in prophecy. Something happened anciently. It will happen again. And that is the case with this prophecy specifically. Anything that we look at in regards to what happened when people broke the Sabbath day and the punishment that they went into there in Israel and in Judah, it's a prophecy for us today. It says the Sabbath rejecting modern day nations descended from ancient Israel, and the entire Sabbath rejecting world will also be punished for their disobedience. And says God's warning is thoroughly explained in that book that I just mentioned to you, Herbert W. Armstrong's book, The United States and Britain in Prophecy. That is free at thetrumpet.com. It's worth taking some time and going through Leviticus 26. Look at those blessings that are promised for obedience. And look at the curses that were promised to come for disobedience. They are listed. They are listed. And again, right there at the beginning of Leviticus 26 in verses 2 through 4, it says, "You shall keep my Sabbaths." This is God talking. "You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Eternal. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then I will give you rain in due season," and so on. Blessings. If we will keep God's commandments and do them. And if we will not, we're going to see curses, like cities being waste, cities being empty, all sorts of curses, the land being desolate. Make sure you spend some time. Look at Leviticus 26. Look at what's happening in society. Look at what's happening in the world. And make sure that now more than ever, we're really studying into the Word of God, striving to keep the Sabbath day holy, and drawing close to Him, because more and more protection is needed, and blessings from God are needed. That's all the time we have for this edition of Live by Every Word. Thanks for spending some time with me today. I'm Dwight Falk. Until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word of God.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.